We're to look to Jesus. That's what John the Baptist is wanting us to do. That's what his ministry is about. But why? Why look to Jesus? Two reasons that we get. Look to Jesus, first of all, because he's the Lamb of God who takes away sin. Look to Jesus because he's the Lamb of God who takes away sin. Have a look in verse 29. After this game of 20 questions, then the next day, John saw Jesus. John saw Jesus coming toward him and says, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came, baptizing with water, was that he might be revealed." Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here he is. Here's the one we've been waiting for. Here's the one who is going to take away sin. And sin, it's just worth pausing there, isn't it? Sin is deeper than rule-breaking. It is much deeper than rule-breaking. It's a failure to love. It's a failure to center our lives around the one who, we were told in verse 3, created all things. Through him all things were made, without him nothing was made. It's a failure to center and to love him and to act as though we were the ones who created all things and who the world revolves around. But Jesus has come. He's come to take away sin. He's come to take away the penalty. He's come to bring life and bring forgiveness. But Lamb of God, why not just say, look, here's Jesus, who's going to take away the sin of the world. John says, Lamb of God. Why does he say Lamb of God? Well, because he's showing us in that title how the sins are going to be taken away. Two bits of Old Testament background. We need to understand that. First bit, Exodus. The story of Exodus. You know where God's people are enslaved in Egypt to Pharaoh. And God sends Moses and says, let my people go so that they may worship me. And Pharaoh says no. And so God sends plague after plague after plague. And still Pharaoh says no, until eventually he says, well, I'm going to send you the last plague, the 10th plague. And it's going to be the death of the firstborn son. All those firstborn sons and animals are going to die. And then you're going to let my people go. But for his people, the Jews, he says, kill a lamb. Take a lamb, kill it, put the blood on your doorposts. And then when the death of the firstborn son occurs, when the angel of the Lord comes, I will pass over your house because I know that a lamb has died in your place. This idea that a lamb dies so that God's wrath passes over his people. Or think of Isaiah 53, the promise that God's king will be a servant who will be led like a lamb to the slaughter. Isaiah 53, verse 6 and 7. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. The idea of this sacrificial lamb on whom sins are laid and who dies in the place of God's people. That is why John uses that title, because he says this is how Jesus is going to take away sins. He's going to come and he's going to die, and sins are going to be placed on him so that God's righteous wrath can pass over his people, so that he can bring forgiveness through his death. Now look to Jesus, because that's how sins are going to be taken away on the cross, says John. You see, that's why Jesus came. We can't have Christmas without Easter. We can't have the crib without the cross. We've sung and we've listened to some brilliant carols over the Christmas season. One of my favorites, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It combines that idea of both the crib and the cross. And listen to the first words. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Or actually, the song that we've just listened to, Hope Has Come, it puts it in an even better way. We just listened to Dave and the band sing, let us join with the angel voices, let us join their happy song, all of heaven and earth rejoices, for the Lamb of God has come. Why? He has come to rescue sinners, come to meet our desperate need. He was born to bring forgiveness. He was born for Calvary. At this Christmas, we can't separate the crib from the cross. And John says, look to Jesus, the one who came to take away your sins. It's not a one-time looking, but it's a continual, daily looking, resting in his work. You see, often the flatness that we can feel as a believer is often because actually we still feel burdened. We still feel weighed down with the guilt of sin. The sin is still around our neck, like a weight. But Jesus came to take it away. He has taken it away. So in our guilt, where are we to look? Not at our guilty hearts and lives, but we are to look to Jesus. We're not to feel that guilt and look to busyness and activity and productivity to try and make ourselves feel better. No, we're to look to Jesus and know that he's taken away sin. When we feel that guilt, we're not to look to sport or exercise as a way of distracting ourselves and finding hope. We're not to look to ritual or religion. No, we're to look to Jesus daily, continually, because he's the Lamb who was born to take away the sins of the world and who has taken away our sins so we can rest in him daily. John says, look to Jesus because he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then finally, he's the one who gives new life by the Spirit. He's the one who gives new life by the Spirit. We see that in verses 32 to 34. And we see John the Baptist has come and he's already baptized Jesus at this point. And he says in verse 32, John gave this testimony. When he baptized Jesus, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And we can read about the baptism in the other accounts. But John's point here is that when he baptized Jesus, Jesus was identified as the one who was going to give the Spirit. Verse 33. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I've seen and testified, this is God's chosen one. Baptized with the Spirit, it's a way of saying, Jesus is the one who's going to bring new life. John's baptism was all about preparing people and saying, you need new life. You need new life with God, and you need to change. Jesus came to give the Spirit, to bring new life with God, and to bring actual change. Think about when Jesus meets Nicodemus. And he says, you've got to be born again, born by the Spirit. It's the Spirit who brings new life. It's the Spirit who, as we saw on Christmas Day, will make us children of God, born again to a Father of eternal love. Mild he lays his glory by, says Hark the Herald. Hark the Herald? Hark the Herald. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. Jesus came to bring about actual new life, but then he came to give the Spirit so we actually change as well. So that we actually begin to live out who we are as God's children. I mean, just imagine that. Imagine a Christmas where the kitchen becomes less and less a place for passive-aggressive encounters or even sort of open hostility. Do you need any help? No, I'm fine. Just leave me alone. I'm fine. I'll do it myself. Imagine if a Christmas kitchen was less like that. Or why don't you help? Come on, come and do something. That, of course, did not happen in our house. Imagine if Christmas was one where there was a growth in true gratitude rather than that, oh, thank you so much for that present. I hate it. Imagine if a Christmas was a Christmas where we were able to willingly serve rather than grudgingly serve. Imagine a Christmas where we're able to enjoy real wonder and real joy. Imagine a new year, not simply turning over a new leaf, but living in new life. Well, Jesus says all that is possible. Because that's what he came to do. By his Spirit, that is exactly what he came to do. To bring new life and then allow us to live in new life. And we're to look to Jesus. We're to look to Jesus because in him we find new life. In him we find the power to live that new life. What a great thing as we head into 2021. As a New Year's resolution, what a great thing to say, well, actually, let me look to Jesus. This year, may this year be a one of looking to Jesus more and more, of resting in his forgiveness and resting in his ability to change. Look to Jesus. He's the one who brings forgiveness of sins. He's the one who brings new life. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. Thank you that he came into the world as the Lamb of God, as your Lamb, to take away the sin of the world. This Christmas season, this period as we head into the new year, help us to look to Jesus, to rest in him, to rest in his work and the forgiveness he brings. Help us to rest in the new life that he's given us, and by his Spirit, to live out that new life. Father, would you change us by your Spirit? Would we depend upon you to change us? And not simply try in our own efforts, but seek you, ask you to change us, know that we cannot change ourselves and depend upon you. So please, this year, would it be, this new year, as we head towards the new year, would it be a year of delighting in Jesus for all that he's done and all that he can do in us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.